Good morning, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ooh, testing on this. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. One, two, three, four. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Good morning. Can you hear? Is it working? Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right.
French boost, English. French boost, English. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3.
You read my mind. Can I use this? Hi, good morning. Can I just use this for a brief second? Nothing official, just housekeeping stuff. Good morning, everybody. Good
morning, everybody.
All right, okay, we are live. I just want to say that we do have this sheet that is required to be signed by those attending this morning. So if you can, as you enter the room, please kindly sign your name on the sheet. Or here. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Ah, great. It's good to see everybody here, at least those who are not at the DNS Breakfast for Women. As you know, today is a very, very busy day. We do have a meeting at 8:30. That's the big meeting upstairs. And I know we all want to be there, so we really, really want to get this thing started as soon as possible. And great, and we do have Mr. Oliver Crepin LeBlanc, one of my favorite presenters. I'm telling you, honestly, he's very high-powered and energetic. So what I will do at this point in time, besides welcoming you all, I'll pass it back to Jenny, who will give us a little brief rundown of this morning's presentation. Jeannie.
It's all right. It happens all the time. I barely notice. So if we can get the... There we go. Okay. So this morning we have Olivier, the chair of the ALEC, who's going to give us a quick presentation, and we have about 30 minutes with him for questions as well. At 7:45, the chair of the business constituency, Elisa Cooper, is going to come. And at 8:15, I will give you a quick rundown on the rest of the sessions for today, including the high-level government meeting and DNSSEC for beginners and the next-gen session that's happening today. And then we will quickly make our way to the welcome ceremony, which I believe is where we were yesterday, but they've just expanded it a bit. And then at 6:45 today is the alumni and fellowship little chit-chat taking place, I believe, in this room. So, Olivier, give me just a second to get your slides up if you'd like to get started.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Whilst you get the slides up, I'm going to ask whether anyone has a laser pointer. You know a thing to point with a laser? Because I've carried mine. It's about this big. Carried it around the world, all the way from the from France, and I forgot it in my room. Very clever. Sort of thing that happens at 7 o'clock in the morning. Morning. You're 15 minutes late. We will take this percentage off your salary. We were going to double your salary of zero, but now we will half it. There you go.
Yeah, that's worth repeating. Yeah, I think the idea is at 7 a.m. everybody should be here. That's one of the things that I know Janice enforces very rigidly, that, you know, 7 o'clock, all the doors close thereafter. So, no. So 7 o'clock is the time, and then we do start at 7:15. So I hope everybody had a good night's rest and a good day yesterday so we could start. You know, there is a meeting at 8:30, which we all want to be there for. So that's why we're trying to get started as soon as possible, if not sooner. Oh, we're going to try and get a pointer. And just before Mr. Crepin LeBlanc starts, there is a list, the list to sign. So all persons kindly do sign your name on the registrar's list. Not the registrar's list, sorry, the list.
The registrar.
All right. So at this point in time, I'll pass it back to Jenny and Jeannie, sorry, and we could start.
Okay, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. And I do note it is 7:15 now, exactly on the spot. And when you need to be here at 7 o'clock, it doesn't mean 7:01, it doesn't mean 7:02, but you can come at 6:59. Anyway, okay, sorry about that. It's just Monday morning craziness, and I'll tell you in a moment a little bit of what the at-large community has done over the weekend. I understand we have interpreters here, so I will slow down. I will drink less coffee for the time being. And I'm the chair of the at-large advisory committee, and that's the part of ICANN which brings the input of internet end users in the ICANN processes. So how does it do that? Let's have a look at the first slide. Right, this is the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. We've got a board of directors in the middle, and starting from the left, this is where my pointer is supposed to go. Bzz. Okay, doesn't work. Starting from the left, you've got the ICANN ombudsman. You might meet him, I think, later on this week. Very fashionable fellow with shorts and flowery shirts. Over the weekend, it was his holiday. Then we got the president and CEO, who's the 16th person sitting on the board. There's ICANN staff. And then looking at the bottom left-hand corner, the ASO, the Address Supporting Organization, and I guess you will have people from around the world, from around the ICANN world that will be coming throughout the week. So you will have a representative from the Address Supporting Organization. They deal with the IP addresses. You know, every computer in the world needs an internet protocol address, the numbers. And so they deal with that, and the generic name supporting organization, otherwise known as GNSO, that's the next one along the line, the green box, they deal with generic names, .com, .net, .org. I guess that's pretty standard. The next one is the CCNSO, country code name supporting organization. They deal with .uk, .de, .fr, all the country codes. And then we've got at large, and that's the one which I'm the chair of. As I said, I'll be speaking to you about it in a moment. And then we've got some advisory committees, the SSAC, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the RSSAC, the Root Server System Advisory Committee. On the top right-hand side, we have the Government Advisory Committee. They are particularly important. It's the governments of the world that meet up. In fact, today, I'm sure you will be told later on in the announcements, but I can tell you in advance, there is a GAC high-level meeting that takes place at the lowest level of the building, which is interesting as well. But Jeannie is laughing. Jeannie used to work with the GAC, so it's great to see the GAC at level -3. Four, is it? No, okay. But yeah, it's a high-level meeting that they don't often have, so I'm sure many of you will be interested in them. What this diagram has as a problem is the fact that the board of directors is in the middle of the multi-stakeholder model. And you will notice throughout the week that the board is often blamed for all sorts of things. So if we go to the next slide, we're doing what most people want to do, which is to get rid of the board and look at what the important parts of ICANN are, and that's all of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. To think of it effectively, the board does not actually take decisions or make policy as far as the policy of ICANN is concerned. What they do is to take in the policy from the supporting organizations and the advisory committees and then apply it afterwards. So if you look at the ICANN overall multi-stakeholder model, most of the component parts of ICANN are multi-stakeholder models. The address supporting organization, because it has the regional internet registries that all have their own policy development process, have a multi-stakeholder model within their part of ICANN. The GNSO is a multi-stakeholder model, maybe not a full multi-stakeholder model, but you have registries, registrars, these are the people in the industry of selling domain names, and then you have non-industry connections like the intellectual property interests, the internet service providers, businesses churches, universities, and consumers as well, and non-commercial organizations as well. So that's a multi-stakeholder model. The CCNSO and country codes, policy takes place at local level as well within each country. And in some of those countries, the policy development process is a multi-stakeholder model. In others, it isn't. But each country code operator is able to do as they wish, since country codes are effectively sovereign. You're not going to let anyone else from outside your country tell you what to do, especially not ICANN in that case. Now, at large, very much a multi-stakeholder holder system. And in fact, I think we'll move to the next slide and we'll concentrate on at large now. Organizational diagram, here we go. We're divided into five regions. We effectively have members that are very diverse, both geographically, but also in their activities themselves. Geographically wise, the five regions are shown on the map here, and each region is headed by a regional at-large organization called a RALO. We like acronyms at ICANN, you will notice, and at large, we even love acronyms even more. Yesterday, I had a go at one of our colleagues who invented, I think, 6 or 7 new acronyms in half an hour. And I couldn't understand them and thought, I haven't kept up to date. And he goes, no, I just made them up. I said, well, thanks. That's really confusing. So I hope you're not going to be too confused by the acronyms. But as far as we have here, an ALS is an at-large structure. And an at-large structure is pretty much anything between an internet society chapter, an organization that might bring computing facilities to deprived communities. We have some university departments that have a direct connection to end users and that deal with research about end users. We have some commercial organizations or semi-commercial organizations that bring internet service provision in parts of the world that are difficult to access geographically. It's a very, very diverse community. We're not only non-commercial, there are some commercial organizations as well. We have 170 of them. In fact, we had and I'll speak to you about this in a moment, but we had a summit that started on Saturday here with 150 organizations, and that's because we had a cutoff date of the 31st of December 2013 for the people who could come here. Since then, we've got more than 10, I think 15 new organizations that have applied and that are in the process of being registered as an at-large structure. Now, each one of these at-large structures is therefore the member of the regional at-large organization, and that is headed by a chair, a vice chair, and a secretariat. And then these regional at-large organizations select 2 people to go on the at-large advisory committee, the ALAC. That's the difference between the two. At-large is the community. ALAC is the 15-member committee that the community selects to come and to act on their behalf, basically. You will notice there's a little distinction here with the little people on the left and that one person on the right, and that one person is tagged nominating committee appointees. You will have noticed in the previous diagram that the nominating committee was a box that was selecting a number of people to go on the board, but it also selects people to go on the country code name supporting organization, on the generic name supporting organization council, and also on the ALAC. As you can see, there are 5 people that the nominating committee appoints. It's an independent or semi-independent process, and I know someone will come from the nominating committee, probably Cheryl Langdonor, who is equally as excited as I am to be going around ICANN, and you know, she's been very much involved for a long time and comes from our community originally. But the nominating committee appoints people to counterbalance sometimes some of the deficiencies in skills, gender deficiencies, or geographic deficiencies of the makeup of our committees. It's particularly important because often the skills are not found in-house, and it's interesting to have someone from really coming from outside, experts, people who are who are gifted in the sort of skills that are needed, and the nominating committee sort of somehow balances the what we have in-house. We've got, as a result, a 15-member committee. They, along with the chairs of the regional at-large organizations, select a board member. We have one person from the at-large community selected to be on the board. At the moment, it is Sébastien Bachelet, and he is going to be on the board until the annual general meeting this year, which is, when is that? Is that October or something? October, and we've just conducted elections actually to select our next board member, and the next one will be Rinalia Abdul Rahim, and she will take up office then when Sébastien steps down at the AGM. You're very welcome to speak to both of them. They're very approachable. They look very different from each other, but I'm sure Sébastien will be passing by here at some point. I know that he loves the fellows, and you know, in fact, the some of the times when I've managed not to wake up in time for giving a presentation, he stood in for me, which was a bit embarrassing on the day. But anyway, not embarrassing for me. It was great to have him there, and you know, he's a great guy, and he's done some really good work for us and with us on the board. Now, that said, the person that we have selected to go on the board, the board member, then has to act in the best interests of ICANN, and is not a relay for our point of view on the board, and that's something that's particularly important. The ICANN board doesn't act on behalf, you know, each board member on behalf of their community. Otherwise, there'd be, it wouldn't work too well. So they need to all have the interest of the organization in hand. Let's go to the next slide. And we'll go a little bit into what at-large does. So I've told you it's more than 150 at-large structures. We're going to be 170 very soon. Computer associations, etc. We are active throughout the world and very, very diverse. What do we do? Because I've told you a lot about what we are and who we are, but what do we do, actually? So one of the main things that we do is to issue comments in response to ICANN public comment requests. Have you been told about the public comment system? Has it changed? I don't know. It might have changed. It changes so much. Sometimes it... Not since yesterday. Okay, that's good news, because I've sometimes been told on a Monday morning, yes, it has changed since yesterday. So, hey, you think I'm not telling you the truth? So, it hasn't changed. That's good. I'm pleased, because otherwise I have to tell our people it's changed, and then I get all the problems about the fact that it's changed. But, no, the public comment system is very important in ICANN. It's one of the main ways to actually get the input from the community out there and to effectively find out if a policy has a chance of being embraced, or if some modification and amendments need to be made to the policy. So we have a mandate to issue comments in response to those public comments, and I will show you in a moment how we do that. We have this other thing. Since we are an advisory committee, we are able to issue comments on any subject at any time. And on any, you know, we're not just restricted to one supporting organization or one topic or one part of ICANN. We can comment about the board, about the country code name supporting organization, about internal process. In fact, we can even comment about external processes linked to ICANN in one way or another. For example, a few years ago, the contract between the U.S. government and ICANN had to be renewed or was coming to an end, and something else had to be put together. The at-large advisory committee commented on it and sent their comments to the U.S. government, which got a few eyebrows to be raised in ICANN. But hey, this is in our mandate. We're not restricted to any specific set of comments, and not everyone knows that. That's why I emphasize this. I think it's good, because it really promotes transparency and it promotes accountability, because we are able to be your nosy neighbor. You know, you paint your house, you've done all this work to do things, you know, prepare it and mow the lawn and, I don't know, make it look good. And then your nosy neighbor arrives and goes,
you don't want to do it like this. This is terrible. I've got a much better way. And well, in fact, sometimes there is a better way to do things. And so it's great to actually have that the ability to bring that input on all these processes. Now, in addition to this, we also have a very important work in taking part in cross-community working groups in ICANN. There are several cross-community working groups in operation at any time in ICANN. That's, you saw the different supporting organizations and advisory committees. One of the big problems is that you might have the same conversation in this room than the room next to this room. And we might have different conclusions, and we might speak for a week. For a week in each one of the rooms, and then at the end of the week, we meet up, or the thing goes to the big meeting at the end, and we find out we all don't agree with each other. That's pretty terrible. And I'm saying a week, sometimes it happens for months. And that's really terrible for the board, because the board receives the input from the different parts of ICANN, and they've got, okay, they say no, they say yes, they say maybe, they say they don't know, and these ones say absolutely don't say no. So then you think, what do we do? And a cross-community working group is a good way to engage cross-community discussions very early on. So that's one thing that I think is being promoted a lot more at the moment. There are some questions, because each part of ICANN runs slightly differently. We have different bylaws. We run our meetings sometimes in a slightly different way. One thing of friction with the cross-community working group is, well, how many people per supporting organization and advisory committee? Another problem is, you know, what is consensus? We all define consensus in a different way. Some parts of ICANN, like the generic name supporting organization, have actually drafted a document which describes I don't know how many levels of consensus. When they come over, I think Jonathan Robinson will be visiting you at some point. Ask him about consensus. Can you define consensus? You'll have about an hour of. But yeah, I mean, we work slightly differently. So there is actually at the moment a working group. So it's a cross-community working group working on defining what a cross-community working group is. It's a very ICANN-like thing. Let's have a working group to define a working group. And hopefully they will reach consensus, and that means it will help reaching consensus later once we've reached it once. Now, in addition to this, taking part in cross-community working group, our members are very much encouraged to take part in GNSO working group, because GNSO working groups are not closed. They are open to everyone. And in fact, it's been a trend recently that whenever a new GNSO, so generic name supporting organization, working group is created, we receive an invite from the GNSO and then say, please supply people for this. It's important to engage early on in the working groups. We also have this vital mission of relaying the ICANN message to internet users around the world. One of the main problems of ICANN is that it's absolutely terrible at communicating what it does and at making people around the world understand these are open meetings. You know, the door is open. Anybody can come in and have breakfast and come and meet us around the table and take part and talk. And that's a big difference between ICANN and some other organizations out there that will remain nameless because I want to live a long life. But yeah, you know, in many places, policy work, especially as important as policy work for internet and for telecommunications and so on, often takes place behind closed doors. That's really terrible. No transparency, no accountability, or lower accountability. Here we do things in an open way, and it's really inclusive, and that's particularly important. And that's the message that we try and relay, thanks to our at-large structures, to the edges of the world. Are there edges in the world? No, it's round, isn't it?
It's a little round.
And that's, yeah, the world is round. That's one of the problems that we have. We conduct conference calls, so we meet at the ICANN meeting. So that's just the committee meets at the ICANN meetings. But we also have conference calls, at least one monthly conference call for the at-large advisory committee, but also conference calls for our working groups. And we have a lot of working groups. And they're all on our wiki pages, and I'll show you a link later on for those.
everyone is encouraged to join working groups. That's probably the best way to start engaging in at large, because the volume of work is pretty insane. 10 minutes? Yep, fine, that's fine. Volume of work is pretty insane. It's a lot of work, but it's really exciting and really interesting, because the work that is done at ICANN has effectively got the potential to affect the 3 billion internet users out there. This is policy making. This is an operational multi-stakeholder model. It's not just pie in the sky, yep, talk, and then everybody goes home and nothing happens. Here, decisions are made. And then decisions are implemented, and when they're implemented, you better make sure these decisions are right. That's why we have a really very important mission to bring in the input of the end users, and that's the message we try and spread out there. And then recently we also had the ability to file new generic top-level domain objections from the community. That was it's over a year ago now that the whole process finished. As you know, new top-level domain applicants have come out and applied. I'm not going to go into that process. I'll leave someone else to deal with this. But we could file objections to any of them that we found were not in the public interest. Ones that might be offensive to any particular group, etc. Let's move on. Next slide. I'm sorry I spent too much time on this one, but I thought it's important. Now, that's how we are working. We work bottom up. And I noticed there is no S in bottom. In England, bottoms up is when you have a drink and you drink it all in one go. A few people still make the mistake of bottoms up. And in fact, we had a little sponsored evening in our at-large summit on Saturday night, which was bottoms up, and for many, too much bottoms up, which meant the next day they were unable to function bottom up. But it works like this. So we've got the at-large structures at the base of the pyramid. They are the ones that bring the policy issues forward, and each one of them brings it to their regional at-large organizations, and those bring it over to the at-large advisory committee at the top of the pyramid. It's a very stable system, and the reason why it is like this is that there is no possibility for one at-large structure or even a small number of at-large structures to hijack the whole process. And if any of them have vested interests, it's very difficult for them to push those vested interests forward into the system. Let's go to the next slide, please. Policy development, the bottom-up process. We're going to go through one, which is the at-large structure input when we have a public comment request. I think that's the public comment request. Of course, even I can't read it this morning. This is terrible. They make these rooms longer and longer. So effectively, it starts with the... Okay, this is not in response. This is just a spontaneous comment that the at-large would like to do. So first, there's a discussion within the region. And if the discussion within the region says, well, you know, we need to have to make a statement on this, then the different regions discuss the matter with each other. And once there is at least three regions that agree this is an important matter, then this is sent over to the at-large advisory committee. And of course, you know that each region selects two people to go on the at-large advisory committee, so they would already know from the mailing list and from what's in their mailbox that this is coming up, and they will have already discussed this. If we move forward, once the ALAC starts discussing it on the next slide, and the next slide has died. There's no next slide. Oh, you got it. Excellent. Then, there again, is there consensus? Because the thing, we work by consensus. We don't like voting. We like finding out if the majority of the people agree with things. And in general, if we're not agreeing with each other, we're not going to go to a vote. Because if we go to a vote and it's just, let's say, we have 15 members and we have, 9 votes in favor... Out of 15, it's a very weak you know, or even, or if we just, you know, halfway or something, you know, that's like, you know, 8 against 7. It means that half of our regions or half of the people on the ALAC are unhappy about it. That's not consensus. So we'd rather not at that point proceed forward with having a statement, drafting a statement. The way it usually works, somebody picks up the pen, says, okay, I'll put a first draft together. We put it on a wiki page. And once it's on the wiki page, we issue a call for comments from our community. Comments come in, and people can type in their comments underneath in the wiki page. And then a second draft, sometimes even a third draft, if we have the time, gets drafted. And finally, the at-large advisory committee ratifies that text by voting on it to really make sure there is support. But by that time, as I said, there is support, and then the statement is released. The next slide is the process that happens when we actually have to respond to a public comment request. It's exactly the same sort of process. And again, the text becomes a statement when the committee votes on it. The problem with the response to a public comment request is that from the red box or red oval on the left over to the green oval or whatever that's called on the right, it takes 21. We have 21 days. 21 days to go from, you know, from my email account to staff email account to all of our at-large structures. And each one of the at-large structures, remember, is a representative. They have to ask their membership and their members. Then he has to go back to them, go back to the RALOs, to us, first draft, drafted, and then whoosh, all the way back again. It's crazy. It's impossible. How can you tap the input so early? So often we have to take more than 21 days, but because we are able to comment at any time, we usually comment in the reply period if we're not able to reply quickly enough. And of course, sometimes we have to have a webinar to inform our members of what is IRTPD. And be like, well, first I have to find out what is IRTPD because I have no idea. So we invite people to go in and talk to us. It's a struggle, but we need all the help we can get. Now the process is going to be changed. It's going to be 40 days, apparently. So that's a great thing. 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Okay, well, let's then have the questions because I think I've pretty much finished. This is the way we do the policy. The next page, please. And there you go, important links. Correspondence page. This is all the statements that we've drafted ever since the beginning of time, or beginning of the web, maybe. At-large policy development. If you're interested in seeing what work we're doing at the moment as far as policy is concerned, you'll see how we build each one of our statements on that page. And then the at-large working groups. These are the groups I mentioned to you earlier to join. Because that's a good first step, and I'm open to questions.
Okay. All right, sorry. Thank you so much, Mr. Oliver Crepin-Leblond, and I think without any further ado, we do have a question. It sounds very interesting and very confusing, the number of 170 at-large structures trying to make policy. I don't know how that's going to work, but we do have a question from Adrian. So, Adrian, you want to pose?
Hi, my name is Adrian Quesada Rodriguez. I'm a third-time fellow from Costa Rica. And first of all, I would really like to say thank you to Mr. Oliver, because I really appreciate the effort that it takes to come here and try to explain to us everything. As I told you, I've been a third-time fellow, and it has taken me three meetings to try and understand this just a little bit. So I'm an individual user. I'm a member of the NCUC. And I became a member of that constituency specifically because I thought that there was no place for an individual in the Kralo, in the La Kralo or whatever, the Valos. And specifically, I've noticed that even in that constituency, there's a complete situation of information overload. You know, there's too much information, and if you're doing your usual business and afterwards you're trying to get involved with ICANN, you're having problems, you know? Yeah. So how do you manage, or what would you recommend a newcomer to get involved and to try and understand how it all works and slowly begin getting involved, because I'm at that stage, and after that's after three meetings, you know. So if it's difficult for me, how would you?
So that's a very, very good point, and I thank you for this. Yeah, it's something which I've heard many, many, many times over. First, the only way to really understand ICANN, I think, is to actually experience it. You cannot learn how to cycle out of a book. You have to get onto a bicycle, and you have to start cycling. And it's the same thing for at large and for ICANN, for an ICANN meeting. If you read about an ICANN meeting, it's nowhere like actually being at an ICANN meeting. So that's the first thing. Now, with regards to the information overload, I think everyone is absolutely overloaded with the amount of things that are taking place, including the other supporting organizations and advisory committees. The volunteer burnout is one problem. If you start, coming back to at large, if you start with one working group, you will probably not have so many emails coming through. However, we had an at-large summit of our 150 ALSs that came to London, that are still here, by the way, and that you will recognize by a purple purple badge. And in fact, we have a couple of people who... Oh, there's one over there, Vikram, and we have Mohan on this side. They're the only ones who wake up early. They've been working very hard the past 2 days to work on specific problematics. One of them was at large engagement in ICANN, and we actually looked at this information overload problem. Some solutions that seem to be coming through are the ability to have some kind of content management system where people would be able to just press the buttons of what exact topics they want to follow, instead of having all of the emails about all of the topics that are taking place, because it's true, it's a lot of emails every day. But there needs to be some work done on that. It's well understood, and we'll make recommendations on it.
Okay, thank you so much. Any further questions?
Yeah.
One more question only.
All right.
Yes?
I don't have a microphone.
A microphone, please.
Can you please use one?
Hi, my name is Edwin Opari from Ghana, and I'm just wondering.
Well done in the football.
Okay, so how does one become an at-large structure?
Thanks for the question. In fact, that's a really stupid thing. I forgot to answer that question. Okay, so to become an at-large structure, of course, your organization needs to be dealing with end users, and there are a few number of parameters. There is, if you go to www.atlarge.icann.org, there is a tab on there which says join. It will have all of the details on how to join. It's just having to fill up a form. The process takes about 6 to 8 weeks, because you need to be vetted by staff. There's due diligence, and then also the other existing at-large structures have to look at your organization and say, yeah, we like these guys, we trust them, let's have them as an at-large structure. Now, two regions, though, have the ability of individual membership. The North American region and the European region both have a possibility of accepting individual members in a slightly different way, but membership is free, and you're very welcome to join if you're in these regions. The other regions are currently working on putting together some kind of system where they can accept individual members, because it is understood that in some regions there might not be an at-large structure that you could join that is closest to you geographically. So that's still work in progress, and it's taken a while to reach this, but that's where we are.
Okay, thank you so much. And I'm sure there are other questions, but unfortunately, time is of the essence. However, I'm sure that Mr. Oliver Crepin-LeBlanc will make himself available in the corridors, at the coffee table, in between meetings. So is that okay?
Absolutely, I totally. If you see me, okay, if I'm not running full speed and look absolutely terrified because I'm late somewhere, do stop me and have a chat with me. I really look forward to it. And if I have the time, unfortunately, I think this week I probably won't because of all the people that are here. But if I do have the time, I'll try and pass here again. And of course, At Large is meeting in this room this afternoon. There's also a roundtable at lunch, just before lunchtime, that takes place here. And there are a lot of activities throughout the week that we might bump into each other for. So thank you. And thanks to Eliza for letting me three, four minutes more than my allocated time. So.
Thank you, Olivier.
I just wanted to add something. This is gone. For those who do have questions and would like to email them, I would suggest you write to Janice, email it to Janice, and Janice can then forward them on to Mr. Oliver Crepin LeBlond. So if you, yeah, right. So it's not to say that if you don't catch him this week, that all is lost. So by all means, do as much as possible, email as well, if possible. Okay, so we're moving on to Miss Elise Cooper from business.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, hello, my name is Elisa Cooper. I am the chair of the business constituency. And today I might tell you just a little bit about who the business constituency is, who can join. And then I also thought I might share how I came to become active in ICANN, because it definitely took me a little while to get fully engaged. And by a little while, I guess I mean 6 or 7 years. And then I'd like to share some tips and things that I've learned, because even having been here 6 or 7 years, you'll find that there are people that have been here 12 years. You know, there's some people that were here sort of since the beginning of ICANN, and ICANN can be a very confusing place. And I would encourage you to always stop and ask questions. ICANN is a place where they like to use a lot of acronyms all the time. And please stop and ask what they are. Sometimes you'll be surprised that the people throwing them around won't know what they are either. So, but don't be afraid to ask. So who is the business constituency? What do we do? We are a group that resides within the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization. And you can see up on the screen, there are a bunch of names listed in the Generic Name Supporting Organization. And the way that group is set up is that there are two houses, or two parts to the GNSO. There are the contracted parties. Those are the registries and the registrars, and they call them the contracted parties because those are the parties that actually have contracts directly with ICANN. So you've got the contracted parties and then the non-contracted parties. And within the non-contracted parties, you've got two houses. You've got a commercial stakeholders group and a non-commercial stakeholders group. Now, the business constituency is part of the house that is the commercial stakeholders group. And there are two other groups within the commercial stakeholders group. There is the intellectual property constituency and the ISPs. So together, the business constituency, the ISPs, the internet service providers, and the intellectual property constituency, the three of us make up the commercial stakeholders group. And again, that's all inside this non-contracted party's house. And again, we are, it's a two-party house. You've got the contracted parties and the non-contracted parties. Okay, that was a lot. But what you need to know is that the business constituency is the place where businesses can come and have their voices heard and also get information about what's going on. Because that's one of the things that I hope to achieve with the business constituency, is that it is a place where a business user, not a business, yes, a business user can come to get information and also have their voices heard. And so what kind of businesses can join the business constituency? It can be any kind of business, all the way from a micro enterprise, so a very small business of one person, all the way up to businesses that we have that are members that have 50,000 plus employees. So it's the entire range of businesses. And what do we really focus on? We really focus on developing policy that tries to achieve three different things. We try to develop policy that promotes end user confidence so that really businesses and their users feel that the internet is a safe place to conduct business. So if the internet is important for your business, then we encourage you to consider joining. Two, we try to develop policy that ensures that the supply of registries and registrars is competitive, so that we have options to choose registrars from around the world and that there are other registries. Obviously, we're achieving that today with the new GTLD program. And then three, the last thing that we're focused on is really the security, stability, and reliability of the internet, so more of a technical focus. So we are concerned with policy that not only ensures that businesses can feel that it's a safe and secure place and that their rights are protected, their intellectual property rights are protected, but we also are concerned with the security and stability of the actual internet, that policy that's developed promotes that and ensures that. So those are the three things that we're very focused on in terms of developing policy. Now, how did I get to become involved with ICANN? Well, my company for many, many years, almost going back to near the beginning, was involved with ICANN. And I had some colleagues who were very involved with ICANN, and they would tell me about these meetings, and I would be like, what are you doing? It sounds like, I mean, you're traveling all over the world. What are you doing? And so I said, well, hey, I'm writing a lot about ICANN. I'm reading a lot about ICANN because I was following ICANN just by reading what was going on the website. And so I was already very familiar with the reports that were coming out and the work that was being done. And this is probably 7 or 8 years ago when there were topics like we're around who is, and that's always been a sort of ongoing topic. But I was following sort of from the outside, but I knew about it from my colleagues. And so then at some point I said, hey, I want to see what's going on. I would like to go. And so I started attending, and I became a member of the business constituency. And I was a member of the business constituency for maybe just about a year before I really became more engaged, and I took a position in the executive committee. And then after that, I became the chair, and I've been the chair for the last couple of years. And as I had alluded to earlier, one of the things that I'm really trying to achieve with the business constituency is that I want it to be a place where businesses can come and get information and where we can share the work. Because a lot of what we're doing is we're responding to work that is being published by ICANN, the reports that are coming out. And certainly when you're part of a constituency, some of the benefit is that you've got a whole group of people where you can discuss, hey, what does this report mean? What have you been experiencing? How should we respond? What should our comments be? And we can split up the work to develop those comments, to write those comments, and publish those comments. Because those comments are how feedback often gets into the entire system of the development process of policy. So it's very important that we're closely following all of the work that's going on, everything that gets published. The other thing that we do as a constituency is we participate in working groups. Members participate in those working groups. And again, in terms of like the time that might be spent, it's really up to the individual member. We have some members who, you know, really just pay attention to the email list. They're not particularly active. When they have a question, they'll send out a list to the business constituency email list, and we'll do our best to answer it. We have other members who are very, very active and probably spend, I would guess, 20 hours a week, but that's their choice. Like I said, we have other members who probably spend, you know, less than a half an hour a week looking through email. So it's really up to the individual member in the constituency in terms of just how much time they want to devote. So, you know, like I said, we encourage any business, you know, for whom the internet is important and, you know, who has an interest in our meeting on Tuesday, which runs from just after lunch until about 4:30. I would invite all of you to join us. It's an open meeting. will be discussing some of the big topics that we're very concerned with now. There are still open issues around new GTLDs, which we're concerned with. Obviously, the entire transition of the IANA functions and the stewardship that ICANN is playing in that. We're very interested in commenting on that and participating in that whole process. That will be a hot topic for us. We're also very concerned with ensuring the accountability of ICANN, who ICANN will be accountable for, what will they be accountable for. So there's so many different things going on. We're also very interested in this final report on domain name ownership information, or who is. You hear who is. That's the ownership information for a domain. Now they're calling it directory services. At any rate, there are many different topics we're following, and we'll be discussing all of those in more detail at our meeting. So that was a lot of talking for me. Let me stop here and ask you what questions I might be able to answer for you about the business constituency, or about ICANN in general, or anything at all.
Okay, so shall we start with...
Por Amparo. Amparo de la República Dominicana.
I am Amparo from the Dominican Republic. What you have just said is very interesting. I didn't know this was part of the ICANA. I didn't know there was a business constituency. And I don't know whether this is a question, but, well, yes, the question is, how can we take this down? How can we take this? I think it's channel 2. So the question is, how can we take this information down to a local level, to a national level? And why am I saying this in the case of my country, the Dominican Republic? Companies are not using internet so much. They are the least active users. A short time ago, we attended a meeting at the Trade Chamber. We were discussing the digital agenda in the Dominican Republic, and the Chamber of Commerce people told us that micro entrepreneurs do not trust the internet. They are afraid that if they take information up to the cloud, no way. So there is a problem there because they're not demanding, they're not seeing the importance of internet use because they are scared, because they don't think it's useful. And I think this issue within the ICANN is very important. I'm really surprised, amazed to know that this actually exists. So my question is, what can we do so that all this information can be taken down to a local level, to a national level, so that we will have more micro-entrepreneur associations. In the Dominican Republic, 80% of the businesses are small and medium-sized businesses. So what can we do? What strategy can we use so that this can be taken down from a global level to a more national level, and so that this space can be taken advantage of? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, you know, the business constituency has members from all around the world, from all of the ICANN regions, I believe, and we would invite anyone from any business anywhere to come join us. You know, it's not necessary to be part of a constituency to participate at ICANN, even as an individual or a microenterprise or a big business. It's possible to follow what is going on at ICANN by monitoring the website and looking at recently released reports and commenting on them. So it's possible that you don't necessarily need to be part of that constituency to be part of the community, per se. But the benefit of being part of the constituency is there's some strength in numbers in that you can... the workload can be spread across all of the members, and everybody's bringing different perspectives, and you get to hear what others are facing in terms of the kinds of issues they're experiencing. But in terms of getting down to more of a local level or a regional level, that's one of the things that we're striving for with the business constituency, is to have greater outreach and greater participation from all around the world, not just from, you know, Western Europe, and not just from North America. So if you have any inkling at all of interest in participation, please come see me, and we would love to invite you.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Paul Mushene. I have just two questions. One is there a membership fee for joining the business constituency? And the second one is, you talked about you care about the security and stability of the internet with respect to business and why businesses ought to trust the internet. So that is one of your core mandates. So is there a working group that deals with that? Thank you.
Okay, so your first question.
First one is a membership. Is there a membership fee?
Okay, yes, there is a membership fee, and so the fees range. If you're a micro enterprise or small enterprise, the fee is much less than if you are, say, you know, a multinational company. Oftentimes, though, if there are members from around the world and they're from emerging markets, sometimes we'll reduce the fees because we really do want to try to encourage membership, especially from around the world. In terms of like the security and stability work that we're focused on, the policy work that we're focused on, you know, we're talking about ensuring that domain names resolve. We're not focused so much on, you know, whether content is making it to the right location or content is being sniffed, or whether, you know, that kind of abuse. When it comes to content, that's not what ICANN is focused on. It's really about the resolution of domain names and numbers. And so in terms of the stability, we're really talking about that piece of it. But there are a number, so there's a number of groups within ICANN that focus on more of like the technical piece. So there is the SSAC, which is the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, which is a committee that provides guidance in terms of, you know, best practices. They release reports, they identify issues. So that's a group to monitor, I think. And then there are often many different working groups that pop up, but there's not one that I'm aware of today that's focused like on that particular topic. Usually it'll be on a specific issue. So, but I don't know of one off the top of my head, but if I can think of one, I'll definitely let you know.
Okay. So my name is Edwin, once again, for the records. And back in Buenos Aires, I attended one of the business constituency meetings, and I realized that about 99% of the people who were present were mainly Europeans or Northern Americans. And that means that the developing regions, they are almost not represented. What is the business constituency doing to ensure that at least there can be, you know, participation from the emerging regions? Yes, you mentioned a reduction of membership fees and all that, but besides the reduction of membership fees, what else are we doing to encourage businesses from the developing regions to also be part of the business constituency?
It's definitely an area that we struggle with in terms of outreach, because right now we're so focused on the work that's going on inside ICANN. We're very internally focused as opposed to trying to do the outreach piece. It's definitely an area that we realize that we need to make sure that we've got all regions, and in particular emerging markets. And so by coming like to sessions today, and like whenever we have an opportunity, we take advantage of that. There are some funds that ICANN has set aside so we can do some outreach, but those funds, in order to conduct that outreach, the outreach has to start within the region, so I can't go to the region. It has to be somebody in the region already, and then we don't have many people in the region already. So it's definitely an issue and a problem, but I guess all I can say is that we certainly more than welcome like all regions, and like I said, in particular, emerging markets are important.
Is that an issue, the regional strategy? I mean, the regional strategies, do they try to address some of those issues, trying to make sure that businesses within the developing markets, for instance, Africa region. Is that something the African regional strategy tries to address to make sure that businesses can come from Africa and be part of the business constituency?
So I'm not sure if I fully understood the question. If is it one of the strategies we're focused
on? No, you did mention that ICANN has some funding to make sure that people from the emerging regions can also join, but you cannot go down there to the regions to let them to tell them come and join. It has to start from the region. So then my question is, we know we have ICANN regional strategies. We have the African regional strategy. We have the European regional strategy. Do these regional strategies try to help solve or bridge the gap between the non-participation of Africans, for instance, the participation from the other regions? Does the strategies address those sort of issues?
Well, my friend and ICANN colleague here,
hi,
will be happy to answer this question.
Hi, I'm your surprise guest. My name is Chris Mondini. I work with ICANN. I'm a vice president for global business engagement, and I also lead stakeholder engagement in the North America region. I came in late. I'm sorry. I wanted to come and hear Elisa's talk and certainly to hear the questions. The aim of my work is really to help and partner with the volunteers and the constituencies and the structures within ICANN to help them with their outreach. So I'm on the ICANN staff, and we do have regional strategies. And to answer your question, each regional strategy is designed to be balanced among stakeholder groups. So my colleagues, Pierre in Africa, Rodrigo in South America, Latin America, Caribbean, really are measured on how much outreach they're doing to business and civil society in addition to government and users and technical community. So we work in partnership. So what I try to do is raise awareness of ICANN, its importance to business. ICANN's important work is what enables a global seamless internet, and that internet is important for business success. And once we have gotten that brand awareness and the fact that it's an open and participatory body out there, I help pass some of those people to people like Elisa Cooper. You'll also be hearing from leaders from the internet service providers. They're the intellectual property lawyers. And so that's as people in the regions learn more and see how it affects their business and their business interests, they become a little bit more active in terms of volunteering. But we do try to balance that. And I did hear the question from Dominican Republic about small businesses. And this is definitely in terms of developing world and SMEs, as we call them, it's a little bit of a challenge because you think of the average business, well, what does it have to do with me? And from the perspective of my goals, as I said, it's already a success to raise the awareness that ICANN is this body that's very important to the internet. And if you want to, you can participate. And if you don't want to participate, you can at least follow. You can submit public comments on policy. You can raise a question in a public forum from any corner of the world. And so if we've conveyed that message already, I think that's a measure of success. But of course, for Elisa's purposes, getting people to participate going forward and helping with the work is really important. One thing that we did do, and I'll mention it, and if those of you that are interested, I can hand it out. We commissioned a report by the Boston Consulting Group, and it tried to show the value of the global internet. And it showed that for national economies, the global seamless, frictionless internet adds over 2 points of GDP to national economies. And there was a section on small business too, and they said for those businesses that really take advantage of the internet, whether it's putting their data in the cloud or really embracing social media or trying to go across borders with their products or services, they can increase their revenues by 6 or 7%. So these kind of reports give this message: ICANN enables the global internet, the global internet enables business success, and businesses can participate. So, and that's the work of Lisa and her group.
Chris, we have Albert Daniels in our RP room, and he wanted to mention that you and him have been doing some work in the Caribbean as well, as far as outreach to businesses go. So he just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. If you want to talk about that for just a second.
Yeah, so again, for those of you from diverse regions in the world, you'll probably, I hope, at some point be able to meet with my counterparts that are the regional vice presidents. Again, as I said, we have a very balanced approach to stakeholder outreach, and we're working very specifically right now more than ever on, like Albert and I have been talking about how to go talk to chambers of commerce in the Caribbean region, for example, and what would be of interest and what would make it easy for those companies. So I'm working with Bahar Esmat in Middle East, who's has a great, you know, in Jordan, which is a very vibrant internet entrepreneurial scene, sort of reaching out and making ICANNs, raising ICANN awareness in that part of the world. And again, hoping that we can be the sort of broad end of the funnel that will bring people closer, and then Elisa and the people that do the heavy lifting and the work on actual policy and doing outputs can draw in some of that diverse talent. And so we have very specific projects that we would, you know, for those of you that want to participate, help us out on, we'd be delighted.
Thank you, Chris. I see we have a few hands up. I don't know how much time we have left, but we can accommodate two questions. So we go with the lady first. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Dwi. I'm from Indonesia. I don't know if this question or not, but I think the problem is by looking at the ICANN meeting, people haven't seen yet that it is possible for micro-business, small business. That means it's need a little capital to do this business. I think this is kind of like suggestion if ICANN or business constituency can like make the like benchmarking or something like the seminar or whatever it is to show the people that this is the possibility of the domain name market to become the small business. And I mean, even the young entrepreneur can do that. Because, well, I know the system of domain name registration. If you are in the registrar, yes, it's not really huge capital, but still, we need to show it to people how it can be done. Because there is no information in the ground level.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, next question. Thank you.
My name is Yao Viatun. I was fellow during the South Korea meeting in 2009, and currently I'm one of the three staff members in Africa. We are trying to outreach to business community. This is a very important part of our activities in Africa. And we have a session tomorrow from 11:30 in this room, the same room tomorrow. We are going to talk about the Africa strategy. So please share information, and you are welcome for more information, more discussion. And we need your input for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to, well, first of all, say good morning to Albert Daniels, who I understand is in the room remotely, and anybody else who is in the room. I know we do have a few fellows who actually just informed me that they're here. But the question is an extremely important question as far as small business is concerned, and I don't want to interrupt. I'm not giving a presentation, but I just wanted to underline and highlight in bold how important this question is, because I always speak about this issue as far as the Caribbean context, is that many businesses in the Caribbean, and you probably said the same thing, either are not online because they do not have the confidence or they just don't know. And that by itself is a great impediment to themselves. If you want to be a business and you're not online, as it was said on the very first day, if you're not online, you don't exist. And that is generally the way things are now. So people do look online for business solutions, whatever the need may be. And if you are not out there, if you don't have a web presence, then you are actually shooting yourself in the foot, I would say.
All right. So I want to thank Elise, and I want to thank Chris as well for passing by. I really do appreciate it. And of course, likewise, if you, I want to say this, if you do see them, by all means, do stop them in the corridors. Is that okay? By all means, and do follow up on this conversation, because I'm sure there are a lot more questions. Unfortunately, time does not permit, because we all do want to go upstairs to hear Fadi and hear the opening. So there are a few more matters of housekeeping. So I want to thank Elise and Chris. So please give them a round, warm round of applause. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So really quickly, the opening or the welcome ceremony is going to be upstairs where we were for the newcomer and fellowship morning meeting yesterday. So please make your way there quickly. We have a very, very large crowd registered here at this ICANN meeting. And there, if 3,000 people. If there is a chance that you can't find a seat in there, there are overflow rooms in Sovereign and Viscount, so which will have interpretation. So please make your way up there quickly so you can be sure to get a seat. The second thing is, please remember to be in this room tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. to start. Yes, and this afternoon at 6:45 in this room. Okay? Thank you.
And tomorrow we do... Sorry, we have DNS tomorrow, and please, if you can, put your minds on the issues, and we have some questions. If you have some questions, please bring them tomorrow so we could discuss them. Have a great day, everybody.